Parsha Kedoshim has a tremendous amount of mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and one fellow man. Take a look in the 19th chapter, we find in Pasuk 16, you should not be a gossip monger among your people, you should not stand aside while your fellow's blood is shed, I am Hashem. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, you shall reprove your fellow and do not bear a sin because of him. And here's the Pasuk Yudchet that we're going to, Mirtz Hashem, learn today. You shall not take revenge, and you shall not bear a grudge against the members of your people. You shall love your fellow as yourself. I am Hashem. I'd like to talk about lo tikom v'lo titor, not to take revenge and not to bear a grudge. Question number one is the question that the Birkas Mordechai asks. He says, why is it that all these three mitzvos, right, two lavim and one mitzvah aseh, are found in one pasuk? Is there a connection between lo tikom v'lo titor, not to take revenge and not to bear a grudge, with v'hatarecha kamocha, you should love your fellow as yourself? Why are they all put in the same pasuk? And why is ani Hashem found at the end of the pasuk? Is there some reason that the three are linked together? Question number two, Marosh Sirim asked, he says, Dai ka ladum b'yisurim elu b'mchina hilchatit. Okay, I can understand. We can analyze this from a halachic perspective. And even then, it's not easy not to take revenge. Gamazlo bekalot mitzugal adam lamo bedrishot haTorah. Ulam kamur Torah mitzaveh gam al rigashot haAdam. But here we're not only talking about action, we're talking about feeling, not to bear a grudge, not to have this hatred in our heart. How can we do this? And we know, as the Chinuch writes, v'noheg rov b'nei adam sheba'al lamini, shelo yasur melechapes acharei mi she'ara lahem ad shigmaleihu kemaseihu hara. The normal mode of conduct is that when somebody harms somebody else, someone does something really mean to somebody else, you want to get back at them. And the Ramchal Musil Yesharim writes that this is like, you know, malchei asharet. It's like the angels of above to be able to hold back this feeling. It's an emotional feeling. Someone's wronged you. It gets to the core of who your persona is. Of course you want to take revenge. You want to bear a grudge. You want to hold on to it for as long as possible and get even with them in any way you can. How is it possible for the Torah to tell us not to do this? Let's reframe that. What are some techniques we can use? And that's really what today is going to be about. It's really going to be a smorgasbord of techniques, of mindsets, that perhaps we can find one that we can implement in our lives to be able to fulfill this mitzvah. Let's, before we begin on the smorgasbord of techniques, let's just have two points of introduction. First is to try to understand a little bit, to give some type of perspective of what is included in not taking revenge and not bearing a grudge. So we all know the Gemara in Yuma in source number 4, one person asks another to borrow his sickle, but the second replies no. The following day, the second person asks the first to borrow his hatchet, and the first replies, I'm not lending you my hatchet, just that you do not lend me your sickle. This is considered revenge. And Rashi brings both of these examples. Next example, one person asks another to borrow his hatchet, but the second replies no. The following day, the second person asks the first person to borrow a shirt, but the first replies, sure, here it is. I am not like you, who did not lend me your hatchet. This is considered bearing a grudge. Since many people have difficulty controlling their impulse to take revenge and bear a grudge, it's incumbent upon us, this is the safer making of amends, to understand what is prohibited. And it's an interesting question among the Rishonim, and this is brought down in source number 5, is this only with monetary matters, but emotional pain may be avenged? Or the Rambam and the Chinuch seem to say that the prohibition applies across the board. The Chafetz Chaim holds that because the Rishonim disagree regarding biblical violation, it's best to be stringent and not take revenge or bear a grudge under any circumstances. Here's a all-too-common scenario. 6a, Reuven invites Shimon to his child's wedding. Shimon does not attend. Shimon then makes a wedding for his child and invites Reuven. If Reuven chooses to not attend because Shimon did not attend his child's wedding, he might be violating Torah prohibition against taking revenge. If, however, Reuven does not attend because he now realizes he's not as close to Shimon as he thought in light of the fact that Shimon did not attend his wedding, this would not be a violation of the prohibition. If Reuven does attend the wedding of Shimon's child, but tells them, I'm not like you, who did not attend my child's wedding, this would be violating the Torah prohibition against bearing a grudge. The fascinating thing is, the implication, the Gemara's of prohibition against taking revenge and bearing grudge are transgressed only when the wrong part says something to the effect of, I'm not lending, I am not like you. However, the majority of Rishonim rule that one can end up transgressing these prohibitions even when words are not used. And that's why one has to, as Chafetz Chaim writes, completely obliterate these feelings from one's heart. Thus, if Reuven invites Shimon to a child's wedding, but Shimon does not intend, and Reuven is subsequently invited to Shimon's wedding and does attend, but he's still angry and upset at Shimon for not attending his child's wedding, that Reuven is still in violation of these prohibitions. Even if you don't say anything, but you're seething inside, here I'm making an effort, and I, you know, pay for parking, and I pay for a babysitter, and I'm losing a night's work, but I'm coming to this wedding anyway, and then I'm going to show him something. You don't say a word, but this is the way you're feeling inside. That would still be over Lo Titor, bearing a grudge. What are some exceptions of the law? The heat of the moment. The prohibition against taking revenge and bearing grudge will apply only when one is retaliating because of something that took place in the past. However, in the heat of the moment, one is not expected to sit back while being trampled upon. Therefore, it's permitted to retaliate to protect oneself from physical or emotional harm. Nevertheless, it's considered an act of piety, even in such circumstances, to refrain. And that's the idea of the Olvim Veinam Nelovim. Those who suffer insult but do not insult in response, they are like Kitzeit Hashemesh Bekvurasso. They are like the sun going forth in its might. Right? The idea of someone says something to you in the heat of the moment, so then it's very complex. You may be able to respond, yeah, you know, and your knee-jerk reaction is to respond to this person. That would not be over, not taking revenge, because it's almost impossible to mandate somebody to hold in the feelings of that time. That would be above and beyond. Those are the people who are quiet. Those are the people who the Gemara refers to as having the strength of the sun. When it is not considered take revenge and bearing grudge, take the offender to Beis Din, because the Beis Din was established for this very reason. 2, not lending out an item in reciprocal manner, if the reason for not doing so is the borrower is not taking good care of such items in the past. So if you're not lending because, you know, they abuse the item you give them, and they bang it up, and they don't take good care of it, so then not lending it to them wouldn't be an act of revenge. It's an act of protection of one's property. In the Sefer to live among friends, we've used the Sefer before, Rabbi Castle, of David Castle, which is a tremendous Sefer on the laws of Ben Adam L'Chaveru in English. So I naively thought, okay, you know, how many laws can there be on not taking revenge and not bearing a grudge? I open up the Sefer, and there are, and I'm not exaggerating, close to 200 pages with extensive footnotes on the laws of not bearing grudge and not taking revenge. So what I thought, naively, that this is, okay, you can't take revenge, you can't bear a grudge, it seems so black and white. It is 200 pages of black and white that aren't so black and white of details. This is a very, very intricate subject. And all I can say is at the end of these 200 pages, which I went through most of them, we know nothing about this topic. I want to highlight some that perhaps, you know, very relevant for us. Source number 10, I'm highlighting 2 or 3 of them. Revenge taken through speaking Lashon Hara is a violation of both Lashon Hara and of taking revenge. The same applies to one who believes Lashon Hara he hears because it makes him feel good that he's getting even with the one spoken about. This is a violation of vengeance and bearing grudge and accepting Lashon Hara. So if you're really mad at somebody and you speak Lashon Hara about them, you say, well, I'm not taking revenge, I'm just speaking Lashon Hara. Or you accept the Lashon Hara because you feel good, this is a way of getting back at this person. I'm going to hear something really mean about them. It's not just Lashon Hara, it's also over Lo Tikom V'Lo Titor. The sin of revenge is even when the person is unaware that you're taking revenge, even if nobody ever knows about it, but you're guilty of taking revenge. And again, in the parentheses, some require his knowledge. That's why everything's a little bit complex here. If due to feelings of revenge, you refuse to offer your help in a situation where you would have normally offered, your refusal to offer your help is a violation of taking passive revenge. Right? This is interesting. It's not only active, not doing something, but by not doing what you could have done. That's what's the revenge, right? Not just doing something against the person. Here's a passive revenge. If because of your revenge, your assistance or your favor is less kind and less considerate than normally would have been, you're in violation of taking passive revenge. Some explain the Torah permits revenge for physical assault, regardless of how insignificant the physical assault. Others say the Torah does not expect one to be like a stone and not to react, and therefore revenge is permitted only for significant physical assault. And then the question becomes, well, what if you assault the person more than they did? So you may be obligated in going above and beyond what the person has done. There's also a time factor involved in the sins of grudges and revenge. The sins generally do not begin until a day has passed, so one has time to calm down. If you look at the Gemara very carefully, the Gemara is, somebody asks something, and they say no. The next day, the following day, they ask. It's not an hour later. Because again, at the heat of the moment, you're angry, so you are going to respond. And that may not be over on taking revenge and bearing grudge. By the next day, you've had time to calm down. You've had time to use one of the tools we're going to talk about in our repertoire today. Then you're held accountable. There are certain guidelines for recognizing if one's feelings can really be classified as a grudge. And he ends this by saying that there's a very complex halachic dimension to the sins of bearing grudge and of taking revenge. But there's also an ethical dimension whereby a person who excels in character and in faith in Hashem will respond much differently than the average person. So again, bottom line is, it is very complex. When you're allowed to, and what the parameters are of when you're allowed to, that day, that moment, how, emotional, monetary, very complex. I almost felt like reading the book, reading the Sefer was like, you know, if someone does something to you, and you're like really mad, well, hold on a second, let me get the book. I just have to find it. Let's see what you've done for me. Am I allowed to, like, by that time, you know, like, who knows what will be. So again, let's not talk about the halachic ramifications. That you have to ask your LOR. Let's talk about the ethical components to it, because this is not a halachic shir, thank God, but rather a mussar one in terms of growth, Sirsa Omer, time of working on ourselves. So the first introduction was just to give a little bit of a parameters of what we're talking about. We're talking about something that happens the next day, a time when you have able to calm down, and that it's complicated. It's even if you don't articulate it, it's lashon hara, even if you don't do anything, it's even passive. There's so many dimensions to it. You know, like you normally, somebody, you know, who did something wrong to you is, you know, starting some type of organization, you normally would have been on the bandwagon to help them out and give them tips because you're, you know, well accustomed to this particular aspect, and you just say, you know what, let them figure out themselves, you know, they can manage, right? And you know you're doing that. You know you're doing it because you're mad at them. Otherwise, for sure, you would have been there giving them the tips of the trade that you have. That's part of the passive of taking revenge, and we all know that we will fall into these traps at some point or another in our lives. If that's introduction number one, introduction number two is what all of these halachas in this story are about, in this parsha are about, source number 12. Hashva'azu matkisha lanu betzura nifkadot shachayim. They're really about two different types of life. Mitzad echad tzurat adam achay b'malach tivo. There's one group of people that live a life based on their natural inclinations. And then there's another group of people who work on themselves to be above their natural inclinations. And they're an entirely different group of people. It's as if one is angelic and one is human. Truth is that when one lives a life of keeping Torah appropriately, they no longer just become a human and respond on a human level. They respond on a godly level. and kochot acharim mitgalim bo, and you see suddenly parts of them that you wonder, like, where could this come from? And this is the power of Torah. Mikol mitzvah, mikol ot, mitgalet chokhmah tabarei. Every word, every letter, we see the chokhmah of Hashem. And this is what the Torah is about. Hashem created human beings. He created our nature. And he also gave us the toolbox, the Torah, which is the formula of how to be able to overcome these natures and become a totally different human being. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is to live Torah, not just to read the book and figure out what it is. It's about allowing us to become that type of person. As the Rav Wolbe points out at the end of 14, it's not just to love Hashem or to love humans. It's to be a Rachma. It's to be somebody who, this is your nature. This is the way you're wired. And in the arrow, Kol Echad in 12, Ro'eh Bechush and Nifloot HaTorah Yotzeret Adam Chadash, you see the power of Torah to recreate a person. Bali Nagut Shelamalu Midarchei HaTeva, above the natural order. V'gam Makirim Et HaPe'er V'Tikun HaNotzar Bali Chava Derech Zu. And when you see someone like this, you say, wow, look at what the power of Torah has the ability to create. We'll just add here, as Rav Wolbe points out in Source 13, that these mitzvos that are connected to our heart, yira, ava, following in Hashem's ways, dveikus, these are not something that is, you know, the cherry on top of the cake. U'mitzvos d'oraisa lo nidru l'balei trisin belvat. Kol yelod bar mitzvah chayav b'chol tayaga mitzvot. These mitzvos are incumbent not just on elderly sages, you know, when they reach old age. These mitzvos are incumbent upon every girl at the age of 12, every boy at the age of 13. And just like we can't say to ourselves, well, this mitzvah doesn't apply to us. No, just like tefillin and kashrus and Shabbos, so too these mitzvos. Meidach, on the other hand, in the double squiggly, ein afsel shel safek, ki kol echad v'echad mitanu b'dor hazeh b'kocho lagia l'eize b'china u'madrega shel yiras Hashem. You should know that we all have the capabilities to reach these highest levels. You're right. It is a great ladder that, you know, is a climb up. But know that habal l'taya, when one in the arrow in 13, when one wants to come and work on these things, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is there to help you succeed. And this is something that all of us have to reach. You know, it's not pick and choose Judaism. Judaism is about the totality of the human spirit. And it's about an evolution that we all need to go through to move from, you know, as the Sfarim say, the baby is born with their hands clenched. And one of the preparations for death is the hands open up. That's our lives. We move from self and self-absorbed into beings who we say, it's not about me. I'm able to let go. And this is really what this mitzvah of Lo Tikom V'Lo Titor is about. Not taking revenge, not bearing grudge. It's about being able to let go. It's about being able to be bigger than ourselves. And no, and this is the point of Rav Wolbe, we all have this ability to do so. We all are commanded to do so. We all have to work on doing so. And our attitude can't be, forget it, you know. I leave that for the Rebbetzin Kenevskis, the Rebbetzin Machlises of this world. You got to be crazy. No. We all have the ability to do so. How do I know this? Because Hashem commanded in the Torah. And Hashem knows the way and who we are and knows we have the ability to do so. And that's why, just to give one final example before we move to our smorgasbord, and that's what today is. Nothing fancy, just a smorgasbord of ideas, and perhaps we can take one that will impact us. Back to the making of amends, Source 15. One of the most common scenarios in which vengeance and bearing a grudge come into play is the following. A friend or a neighbor asks a favor of us, such as giving him a ride to work or doing an errand for him, but we hesitate because that person did not help us out in the past. You know, I've called them up to give my kid a ride somewhere. Ah, I can't do it. I call them up again. I can't do it. And now they want a favor from me. And I'm thinking like, well, hey, if they can't do it for me, why should I do it for them? That's human nature. That's where we're at. We may not even articulate it, but that's what's going through us. At times we're willing to give the ride, but do so with a sour face, or do the errand, but not exactly as requested. All of these are violations of prohibitions against taking revenge and bearing a grudge. And I bring this example in 15 because I want us to see that lest one think that, you know, bearing a grudge and taking revenge, and we're linking really the two together, even though they're very separate and they have different halachos, I understand that. But conceptually, for our subject, we're linking them together. I'm linking them together. Pasuk links them together. Is that it doesn't have to be something dramatic. You know, somebody stands up in front of everybody and embarrasses me, or, you know, it doesn't have to be something dramatic. It can be something small. You know, where you ask for a favor from somebody, and they just say no. And then when they ask you a favor, deep down in you, okay, not so deep, you're thinking like, hey, you know, if they can't go out of the way for me, why should I go out of the way for them? These are common scenarios that happen all the time. And we have to be aware of them. And part of what life is about is being able to have that light flash. Hello, you know, like, midos alert. This is one of those Midos alerts, like I'm about to enter into, whether realizing it or not, consciously or subconsciously, taking revenge. I'll do it, but I'll do it begrudgingly. Stop. And here's the opportunity to say, and whatever we have, 7 or 8 things that we could say to help us be able to overcome this. What's the first idea? How are we able to get past these feelings? And that's the next part of the pasuk. Lo tikom v'lo titor et b'nei amecha, and v'haftarecha kamocha. In that next phrase, we have idea number one. A tactic for trumpeting over the instinct to take revenge and bear a grudge is suggested by the Smos Yesharim. It teaches to fill the second half of the pasuk containing these prohibitions. Love your fellow Jew as you love yourself. Love it without reservations and compunction. Chazal drive home this concept with the following analogy. Imagine when it's cutting meat and accidentally nicks his finger with a knife. Will this person take revenge against the hand that inflicted the wound by transferring the knife to the other hand and injuring the hand that nicked the finger? Of course not. Both hands are part of our greater body. As such, revenge taken by one hand against the other hand is preposterous. This is how we must view the Jewish people. Refraining from taking revenge, bearing a grudge, sometimes appears to be mission impossible, but the Torah knows and expects that one can overcome these instinctive responses. But first says it even happens before v'haftarecha kamocha. It's the next part of the pasuk. The offender is one of b'nei amo. Above all, it is said that among achim, among brothers, there's no room for hate, as we're all children of God. Similarly here it is said that the fact that the offender is b'nei amecha, is one of your people, should remove from your heart any wrongful feeling. After all, amecha is am Hashem. Can you do it to goyim? Read that Castle book, Rabbi Castle's book. He deals with that. It is to this national community that God referred when he says, v'lakachti etchem li la'am. We are all of God's people. We have to look at everybody as brothers. So this idea of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, that we're all brothers, this is going to be the motivating factor to stop me. Ah, I may look at somebody else and say, they're my brother. Like, I don't love them as my brother. So which brings us to a famous idea, the Michtam Eliyahu, in Source 18. And the reason is, v'yavin kizeh asher zar nechshavlo, why a person doesn't look like that emotional feeling as brothers, v'hu rak masher terem natanlo, v'olo etivimo, it's only because you haven't helped him, you haven't done something good to him. Aval im yatchil letiv et kol asher imsa, if you start doing good to those around you, ki az your gash asher kulam krovav kulam o'avav, they're all the children of Hashem. And this, as the Tivat Torah of Gamliel, source number 19, points out, Sharei im yahav chaveiro kemoto, if you love your friend like yourself, lo yovel lasot lo davar sheino rotzeh sheyasu lo atzmo, you wouldn't do anything that you wouldn't want done to yourself. So my friends, idea number one is v'haftarecha kamocha. Just like you have to love yourself, you have to love another person. Just like you wouldn't want to hurt yourself, you shouldn't want to hurt this other person. Just to develop this idea just for a moment, Rav Mizrachi in Birkas Mordechai quotes the Rashbam, who says, acting in this way is avor al midosecha, means you have to go over your mitos. It means you have to transcend your natural feeling. And he brings that Gemara Yerushalmi that says, איך תיתכן להשתלט על הרגשות שלך? תראית, שווה בנפשך, imagine that the knife in your right hand cuts your left hand. Would you imagine to, take revenge on your right hand? It makes absolutely no sense. So ask the Birkas Mordechai, are these two different things? Imagining that one hand shouldn't hurt the other hand and just overcome your nature. Or are they two separate things? And he says, is it enough just to imagine this? So someone does something to me and I say, stop. I'm imagining my right hand is cutting my left hand. I am not going to pick up the knife and cut my right hand. Is that going to be enough to stop me? Just that imagining, that's going to be enough? So he answers the following. He says, Ela sheitzacha b'chozo kayemet v'hi seleka tasiba. Reframe it, right? The title, Reviewing Revenge. Review it. View it differently. Look at it in a different way. What does this mean? Ein amalim kol. There's nothing even to take vengeance for. Hayitachein. Im tefliach ben adam, laskil amadacha, lorir tardamat hushecha vargashotecha, double squiggling 21. Kigamim lo na guimach kishira, aval nifgata. Reframe this. You weren't hurt. Nothing bad was done to you. Even if your hand was hurt, your kavod is still there. And know that if you are going to hurt this other person, bottom line is, who are you really hurting? Yourself. This is the way you behave. This is the way that reflects on who you are. By hurting another person, the one you're really hurting, it's a boomerang effect, it's yourself. When the right hurts the left, and the left wants to take revenge on the right, you're just hurting yourself. We're all one conglomerate being. When I look at the other person, know that we are one. For me to hurt them, for me to take revenge on them, I'm hurting us. I'm hurting the idea of the brotherhood that we envision. And that really is hurting the integrity of myself. But who among us thinks this way? Who among us thinks like Rav Aryeh Levine when he went to the doctor with his wife when his foot hurt her and said our foot hurt to us? How many of us feel about this with our spouse, kal v'chomer, with a friend or somebody who's hurt us? Yadoa teida ben adam, no, my friends. 23, ilei mechitzat hamidot. If it weren't for our negative midos, which creates a blockage between us and our friends, our mitos is what blocks us. If we didn't have our mitos, you know what, negative mitos, we weren't egotistical, do you know what, my friends? We're really one. Our neshamas are interconnected. We're all together in this. What makes us separate are our negative mitos. If we're able, and that's what the Rashbam is saying, and that's why the Rashbam is really helping out this Gemara Yerushalmi. The Rashbam is saying, Avuro midosecha, overcome your mitos. Overcoming your mitos will enable you to have this feeling that we're one. And when somebody hurts you, it's really like you're hurting somebody. You hurt yourself. You wouldn't take revenge on yourself. Why would you take revenge on the other person? That's ludicrous. Right? Sometimes we do things that make a fool of ourselves. Do we then, make a further fool of ourselves? We're making a fool of ourselves? We've already made a fool of ourselves. It's us. We're one us. As Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky points out, in Source 24, Rabbeinu Yonah explains a provocative statement in Avos that being a good friend leads itself to a successful life of serving Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah explains that the first step to having a meaningful friendship with anyone is to remove selfishness from one's heart, to break down the egotistical barriers through which we prioritize ourselves and not to disregard others at whim. This concept is not limited to human relationship. It's about Hashem as well, to smash our egos, which we'll talk about soon. Ani Hashem. This is what it's about. So when we're talking about, well, if somebody says something to you or doesn't help you out, what's my response? Oh, I gotta get this person. I'm gonna... No. My response is, we're one. We're united. Why would I hurt somebody? Why would the right hand hurt the left hand? Why we, who are interconnected, why would I even think? V'haftarecha kamocha, b'nei amecha, why do I even think of harming this person? The prerequisite of this, my friends, is that a person has to look at themselves as being special. A person has to appreciate the godly nature in us. Because what separates us is the mitos. What connects us is our spirituality. What connects us is the Ani Hashem. What connects us is the fact that Hashem created all of us. As the chapter 32 in the Tanya, a very famous chapter, it's that our bodies is what, the outer shells is what creates divisiveness. But we in our core are interconnected. And this is Kol Od Adam Lo Makir Et Atzmo. The Letitcha Elyon quotes this idea: as long as a person doesn't know themselves, they know Yodea La'arich and Yishiuto Shu Ben Yachid LeBorei Olam, that you're not able to appreciate that you're an only child to Hashem. Eino Musugal B'Shemofen LeHov VeChaveru Kemo. You know, you're not going to love your friend. It has to be lo tikom v'lo titor b'nei amecha v'haftarecha kamocha ani Hashem. You need to have all of these components. Why do you need to have the component of ani Hashem with v'haftarecha kamocha? Because to realize that we have what we have, our relationship with others is predicated on the fact that Hashem made me a godly soul, that I realize the godliness in me, and when I'm able to realize that godliness in me, I'm then able to see that not only am I an only child to Hashem, there also Hashem treats them like an only child. And we're brothers. And that's the understanding. And this is why Ben Azai holds, unlike Rabbi Akiva, who holds that this is the Klal Gadol by Torah, that Ben Azai holds the end of 25, Zeh Sefer Todos Sa'adam, B'yom Bro Elokim Adam B'dmut Elokim Asa'oto. Why is this the quintessential pasuk? Because a person needs to know, Tzarich B'rosh Hashana La'avin Et Erko Shelo. You have to realize that you were created in the image of God. This is an imperative that we wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most spiritual of them all, me. And then when I look outside, I see everyone else as a mirror of that same idea, mirroring that same idea, that they're too created in the image of Hashem. And that, my friends, on this level, idea number one, that this is v'haftarecha kamocha, seeing that we're all part of one whole. That's idea one. Idea two is focusing in on primarily Ani Hashem. And we're going to see quite a number of ideas on this end of the pasuk. That both for Lo Tikom Lo Titor and V'Haftarecha Kamocha, as we saw, Ani Hashem is the key. What is Ani Hashem about? I am Hashem. So I'd like to begin with the Sefer Chinuch that the Olam Hamidos, Rabbi Kestenbaum, points out in 26. Sefer Chinuch, regarding the prohibition of revenge, the Chinuch explains that whatever happens to us, good or bad, is from Hashem. And therefore, when another person hurts us, we should recognize that our sins have caused this and that Hashem has decreed it. We should not dream of taking revenge against the person who hurt us, because what happened to us was not a result of his evil, but rather a result of our sins. This attitude reflected in David HaMelech's response when Shimon ben Gera cursed him. Let him curse, he told the man, because Hashem has told him to curse me. Instead of becoming angry at Shimi, he blamed Shimi's curses on his own misdeeds. We certainly are not privy to the calculations of Hashem, and we can't know whether the challenge of dealing with the person who hurts us is a punishment for our sins, a test, or an opportunity to grow in our mitos. But we do know that whatever happens is from Hashem, for our ultimate benefit. This should serve to mitigate our anger towards the person. Wow. Ani Hashem, as the Tiva Torah points out in 28, is emunah. When a person is strong in their emunah, when a person understands that everything that happens is coming from Hashem. We don't know if it's a punishment. We don't know if it's a test. We don't know why it's happening. But we firmly believe that everything that happens, a person doesn't snap his fingers down here. Ein adam no kefetz bo milamata. Nobody bangs themselves down here unless it's decreed from above. Every single thing that happens to me is being orchestrated by Hashem. So now let's review the revenge. How do I look at a situation? I ask somebody, you know, I have a wedding coming up. You have the perfect outfit, the perfect color. It even fits me. That's even a bigger miracle. Can I borrow it? And they say, no. And I'm like, I thought you were my friend. Like, it's so hard to find the right color and the right size, and here it is. So, stop. Let me stop right there. It's like, press the pause button. And that's why in our parsha, it's been said that Tishbar Damitzecha, have they done a call down the Kaschot? There may be a zillion reasons. Maybe she promised it to somebody else and she didn't want to tell me. Maybe, well, I don't know the reasons. We can all be creative. It's not our point to do that right now. And, or, maybe, there is no reason. Hashem wants me to be upset. Yeah. He wants me to be frustrated. Why? Well, it could be as a punishment. That's one way of looking at it. It could be that Hashem is saying, I want you to flex your muscles here. I want you to move beyond yourself. You've been like cruising along smiles in your midos. You need a little bit of awakening to work on yourself, to be able to forgive, to be able to move beyond, to be able to see Hashem's picture in all of this. And we all know, and this is Majesty of Man, Rav Chenoch Leibowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim Zatzal, we must focus on Hashem's infinite love and care for us in Source 30. Providing all our needs, everything we have, and actually comes from Him. If we focus and internalize these ideas, we'll find it easy to erase hatred from our list of emotions. After all, why should it bother us if this particular individual didn't grant us the favor we asked for? Hashem will give it to us in another way if we truly deserve it. If I really need this dress, and I need whatever I need, I'll get it from Him. And that's what we have to understand. We have to understand that everything is orchestrated by Hashem. For whatever reason, Hashem didn't want this person to give it to me. Hashem wanted me to get it from another place. Hashem wanted me to work on my midos with this person. And as the Rav Dan Segel Shlita, famous Mashkiach, points out, Ki ani Hashem, the asterisk in 29, Hakol mimeni, everything comes from me. Kol mimeni ba. V'lo mezulati, it's only coming from Hashem. V'im kein ma'alachav l'shlichai, haven shezani. It's not about them. It's not about this friend who didn't give it to me. It's about Hashem didn't want me to get it. So why am I getting caught up on this friend? And I'm going to get even with them, and when they need something, I'm going to keep this in mind. Drop it. It's not about them. Hey, Hashem will give it to us when we deserve it, and how we deserve it. Harbe shluchim l'makom. And B, look at these people as just a emissary from Hashem. Ma l'chav l'shlichai. This is what it's about. Hashem has many emissaries. So I really should go over to this person who didn't give me this dress and say, I want to thank you so much. I really appreciate you saying no. You are a shaliach, a direct emissary from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I know that this is what Hashem wants me to hear right now, and I'm working on myself, and I'm thank you so much for this opportunity. Okay, obviously they'll look at me as if I'm a little bit strange, but that's nishtahin, nishtahair. This is what it's about. It's about recognizing there's a larger picture here. And when I see it, that it's Hashem who's stopping me, so then suddenly all of this angst that I feel against the person falls away. It's not about them. Harbe shluchim l'makom. There are many emissaries to God. You know, one of the places you see this in a very dramatic way, before moving on, is in Nesivos Chaim at Source 31, Rav Matlin, where he points out that when Rachel Imenu sees that Reuven had brought the flowers, his judaim to Leah, she says, can I have some judaim? And Lei Meinu's response was very, very intense. Hama'akach techlet ishi, v'lakacha gamidurei b'ni, isn't enough, you took my husband, now you're giving me the, now you want my, the dudaim? So Matlin says, you can imagine the following conversation. Rachel Imenu goes over to Leah and says, remember a few years ago, there were these simanim, there were these signs, and I gave you these signs that you can marry Yaakov Avinu. Now, I'd like to, cash in as thank you for the signs. I'd like you to have some of these dudaim. And Leah Imenu's response seems very out of character. Who gave him? It's not enough you took my husband? What meant my husband? Rachel Imenu gave her this husband. What do you mean, it's not enough you took my husband? Whose husband is it anyway? So says Rav Madlin, listen to this. Avaleya lo savra kein. Leah doesn't believe it was the Dudaim that gave Yaakov Avinu to her. And the Medrash tells us, kasher tefila shebilat hegzeira. It was Leah Imenu's tefila that broke the gzeira and allowed her to get married first. Klomar, shisavra shemin hadin zachtali nasei leYaakov. Leah Imenu really believed that she was meant to marry Yaakov Avinu because her tefilos were accepted by Hashem. And it was only because her tefilos that she was marrying Yaakov Avinu, and not because Rachel Imenu gave over the simanim. Shizaya raka hechetimsi shana shemel tefilota. This was just the medium that Hashem answered her tefilos, v'lo sibah, not the reason. What Leah Imenu was saying to Rachel Imenu is, Rachel dear, you think you gave me Yaakov Avinu? You think you gave me this husband? No, no, no. Hama'akach techet ishi, it's my husband. Where did I get it from? I got it from my tefillah. You were just a medium. And you, Rachel Imenu, know that if you didn't give over the simanim, I would have married him anyway. Hashem would have orchestrated in another way. And that's what we need to understand, my friends. And I'm talking about it on the really the deepest level. If we don't get what we want, it's not because this person is blocking it. This person wasn't meant to be the shaliach. They weren't meant to be the one to help you out. For whatever reason, Hashem wants somebody else to help you out. And the flip side is, when we are able to do somebody a favor, we should feel so good that, the Gadlim's Chusay De Zaka, that Hashem has enabled us to do this person a favor, that we've become the Malachim, we become the Shlichim of Hashem. Like, we should be walking around, like, literally flying like angels. How many times we have the ability to help somebody out? And if we don't, can't help somebody, ask yourself, right? It's complicated. So idea number one on our smorgasbord is love everybody as yourself, right? We're all brothers. It's the ego that separates us. If I'm able to see core spiritual bond, of course we never hurt anybody else. We're hurting ourselves. Idea number two, everything comes from a Kurdish miracle. And we have to understand that. And Hashem will give us when we deserve it, how we deserve it. Idea number three, on the Hashem, Rav Pinkus. Shekarish Baruch Hu Hanotein Et HaKoach Lamod B'Zeh L'Mishur Tzabekah. You're right, it's very hard. It's very hard to overcome these natural feelings. Ani Hashem, I'll give you the help. Habalotayer M'sayin B'yado. If you really want it, if you really want to grow on that ladder, I'm here. Ask me. At that moment, When you're feeling this feeling, instead of just, taking that emotion in anger, turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, help me forgive this person. Hashem, help me be able to overcome it. Daven to Hashem. Idea number three. That was not idea number three. Idea number four. This is very intense. Perspective. Marosh Shirim Rav Reis. Harambam in a makeshake bornut kana till mecha ain ila maspekish itastik masay nakam or rikshot sina. The Rambam writes, there is no situation that is worthy of revenge or taking or harboring a grudge. El ra'ui lo ladam liyot maivir migdosav a kol divrei olam. Try to overlook everything. There's nothing in life that's worthy of taking revenge. And this is very similar to what the Klei Yakar speaks about in Source 34. The Klei Yakar gives us the following mashal. He says, imagine a little kid. We can all relate to this idea, developing the Kleyuka. This little kid is building a blocks out of wood. Wooden blocks, right? Old-fashioned wooden blocks. And he's building this big tower. And then comes along an adult. You know, someone walks into the room, or a child, doesn't really matter, and just, for whatever reason, knocks down his building. The kid is devastated. He's been working for a good 20 minutes on this building, and he comes running to his mother or father. I want you to punish so-and-so for ruining my building. And, like, you know, the child may even say, I want you to kill this person. I want you to really do whatever. You know, kids get a little excited. And you look at this child, and you think to yourself, sach hakol, what happened? A block building broke. It can be rebuilt. Move forward. And when we look at this, like, we look at this in such, like, childish eyes, like, oh my gosh, you're getting so excited over this building. Now reframe it. Review it. Look at it from a different perspective. And that is, how do we look at what happens to us? Why do we get so excited? What sets us off? Is anything worth it? HaRebbe Mikotz haya omer sha'olam hazeh no shaveh afilu anacha achat. The Kotzker Rebbe says this world isn't even worthy of one sigh. Move beyond. Now you'll say to me, wait a minute, there are things that are worthy of revenge. So what comes to mind is a very famous story, and I'm just going to, I haven't heard it in years, so I might have it a little bit, not exact, but it's one of those Rabbi Yoel Gold stories, so I'm sure many of us here have seen it. I'm just going to remind us of it. Of a visiting day in camp, where a grandfather is walking with his granddaughters, and they pass by another elderly man, and the grandfather nods to this other elderly man who's walking with his granddaughters. And when they move on, this grandfather's asked, I didn't know you knew this person. Like, you know, I usually know the people you know. Who is this person that you nodded to? And he told the following story. He said that during the war, right before the war, he had chavrusa and a best friend with another fellow. And they were like brothers. And one day he said to this chavrusa friend, and this was the only person he told, he said, I was able to get a visa for me, my wife, and our baby to leave. And he shared this information. He says, I'm keeping it in my drawer, in my desk, and we're gonna leave before the war. A few days later, when he comes to get this visa, it's gone. His chavrusa, his best friend, took it, and with his wife and his baby, to escape. Meanwhile, this guy's wife died, the baby died, and he went through the war. And this man said, that man that I nodded to is that fellow, that chavrusa, who stole my visa, my family's visa. And they said, aren't you upset? Like, aren't you mad at him? How could you even look at him in the face? And he says, what was, was. And he remarried, and the end of this video, which is so chilling, is seeing this grandfather's family remarried, rebuilt, beautiful wedding picture of Dorei Doros, of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. Many of us aren't on this level. Is it possible? And this is a Yid who we don't even know who this person is. It's not like some rabbi, some famous tzaddik. It is possible. Nothing in this world is worth more than a sigh. It's intense. It's reality. 35. Next idea. So we have loving oneself as oneself. The right hand doesn't hurt the left hand. We have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one orchestrating everything. They're just a shaliach, an emissary from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perspective. Recognize that, is it really such a big deal? And that was an extreme example that I gave. Most of the examples of not lending a dress I could really relate to us. Come on. It's like the kid's tower. Like, move on, right? And some of us, you know, the Sfarim speak about this, these English books, like so many of bearing a grudge in immaturity. It's really immaturity. And they say immaturity does not excuse this behavior. Grow up. The next idea that the Baruch Shirim gives, he brings a lot. is the Chavetz Chaim in Avas Chesed, where he says, our job is to be able to v'halachta b'drachav, to walk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Double squiggly, chovat halicha b'darchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechayevet shelo zo b'vad shadam lo yashiv lo se'ra kikmulo, being, and this is very much the Tomer Devora, Rav Cordovero, emulating Hashem isn't just to forgive, but to do good to that person as well. Ela adrava shishtadel leitivimo, the challenge and we is not only to forgive, but to do something good for this person. And we hear so many stories about this. Okay, these are the great Musar individuals like Rabbi Sol Salanter, who, you know, somebody would, you know, spoke against him and was mean to him. And not only did he forgive the person, but he worked overtime to try to get this person their, whatever they needed, the license to be a shochet or to help them out or to write a letter, you know. And you see this over and over again, where people were hurt. Not only did they forgive, but they were able to do good to the other person. And that is, that's greatness. That's greatness, and that is what we have to try to think about. Somebody hurts us, the person doesn't lend me the dress, and again, I'm using the dress as an imagery. They don't lend me something, so then I look for an opportunity to do good for that person, to do them a favor, and it just breeds love in place of hatred. Our final idea is 38. And that's Letzitcha 39, rather. That's Birkas Mordechai. The Birkas Mordechai quotes that there are two versions of the Chizkuni. The Balei HaTosfot quote the Chizkuni in 39 as saying, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tinatzeach Ahava Sheyesh Lecha Imi, allow the love you have for me to overcome Et Hasina Sheyesh Lecha Im Chavirecha, to overcome the hatred you have for your friend. What is the Ani Hashem? Allow the love you have for me to overcome the hatred you have for your friend. Another version of the Chizkuni, Tinatzeach Ahava Sheyesh Lecha Imo Et Hasina Sheyesh Lecha Imo. Allow the love you have for another person to overcome the hatred you have for the other person. How do we reconcile these two ideas of the Chizkuni, the love of Hashem, the love of others? What does it mean to overcome? What does it mean, shetinatzeach, to be able to fight? What's going on here? What fighting is going on here? So he says, in 40 in the asterisks, says the Birkas Mordechai, Kishinimsa hadam amok b'toch avato l'shem yitbarach, mitbatel mitboses ani adim yoniv amesuyaf. First thing to understand is, if you're able to access love of Hashem, then you know the eye melts. You know the whole world is about all the things we've been saying tonight. It's about Hashem's running the world. It's about Hashem knows what's best. It's about Hashem is in charge. Hashem loves me. When I am so completely enamored and have that emuna with Hashem, everything else melts away. Shelo ohevu emi she'ein od mavado. You're loving Hashem. Kulo shoev, kulo chama, kulo bavato yitbarach she'ein od mavado. Lo nishter bo muma min ani. There's no me here. It's all about the love of Hashem. Ukeshe'ein ani, when there is no me, ein pakua ve'ein nifka, ein nekama, ein nekamo. If there is no me, then there are no feelings of hardship. There's no feelings of anger. There's no feelings of revenge, because there's no me. It's all about love of Hashem. Kaimim rak avat Hashem v'avat reim. All there is love. And that's the idea of tenatzeach, to be able to fight. Klum kol mi sheino nokei minotei ohevu, ma'o keshvim baru v'avat Hashem, ha'im zeh tamua? And he says, well, does everyone love Hashem? So he says, and this is very deep. He says, ha'mitbonen in the asterisk in 41, ki yavchin ki oto regeshi, kashem mechuvanu al ava harei ohev, kashem mechuvanu klapei asina harei lo aleinu sona. It's really the same psychological aspect. It is a deep feeling within us. We can channel it for good and for love. And we know this, that, you know, sometimes, like, you see this with people who get divorced, that intense love has turned into the most intense hatred. But they used to love each other. That's exactly the reason. Love and hate are really coming from that same point within the human being. It's a very deep emotional place. And it can either be channeled for love or it can be channeled for hatred. And this is what the Chizkun is saying. Grab this moment. Grab this moment where you're feeling an intense feeling. And ask yourself, what are you going to do with this intense feeling? Here are your options. You're going to hate this person. You're going to take revenge on this person. You're going to hold a grudge. Okay, that's one option. Option two, you're going to love this person. You're going to give to this person, as we just mentioned. Option three, you're going to love Hashem. You're going to give to Hashem to the place where there's none of this I left to have these negative feelings. And that's the message that the Chizkuni is giving us. Lo lam yamdu hema zem ul zeh. They're going to be one against the other. L'fichach amar kadosh baruch hu. Tenatzeach ha'ava sheyesh lecha imi et hasinah sheyesh lecha im chaverecha. Take this moment and allow the love for me to overcome the love for your friends. And you know what? Take this love of me and use it for your love of your friend as well. And you'll see that you're really one and the same. And this, my friends, gets us to a very important core. And that is, when we're talking about loving Hashem, which seems to be so esoteric, know that it's really found, Ani Hashem, after V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. Rabbi Shimon Laffer, in an essay in Step by Step, brings from Rav Gifter, the love of Hashem in its fullness in source number 43 requires the submission of the lover to his beloved to the extent of cleaving and unity. Rav Gifter suggests that the extent to which one cultivates a close relationship with a spouse or by extension any other individual that will allow one to experience the feeling of closeness to Hashem. The love of Hashem then requires the ability to love another person and become closer with our spouses, our parents, our friends. We expand our ability to foster closeness in our relationships with Hashem. And that's why in 44, the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and the Ben Adam L'Makom are interspersed together. The idea of V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha Ani Hashem. Why? Because what the Gemara makes testing, the act of love Hashem requires not the performance of a ritual act for His sake, but rather the fulfillment of another type of love, loving others. The two types of love are interrelated. And this is what the Chizkuni is teaching us. When you have the ability to take that intense feeling and channel it, you're able to channel it to loving this person. That's going to help you love Hashem. When you love Hashem, it's going to help you love others. It's all interconnected. And this is the challenge that we have to do, really coming full circle. How can we channel this love? See that we're really the same. See, we're both created in the image of God. See that Hashem loves both of us. When I'm able to mix together the love of others with the love of Hashem, I'm able to have that one complete picture. It's all about love. It's all about that Hashem loves me, that Hashem's orchestrating my life, that everything that happens is happening for an exact purpose. And if this person can't help me, someone else is going to help me, and there's a reason why this person can't help me, why Hashem hasn't chosen this person to be the Shaliach. Learn how to see love. Review. Be able to look at the revenge from a whole different perspective. And this enables me to go above and beyond. This enables me to move to a higher place. There's a beautiful story that Rabbi Spiro tells in To Light a Spark in his new book. He tells a story of Rabbi Yechiel Yeshua Rabinowitz of Biala, the author of the Chelkas Yeshua. He lost his father when he was sick. He was six. He would be in the homes of various aunts and uncles. Once he was in his uncle's home as a child, and the uncle told them all about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and so they decided to play a game. And his cousins, right, told him, you know, let's pretend to have a little boat, and we'll go in the water, and we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. He really was not into it, but they convinced him, and he went on the boat. Well, it didn't. you know, like in a little pond by their house. It didn't turn out so well. They capsized and they got all dirty and a mess. They come back, and in those days, to wash clothes was re-washing everything. And the aunt wasn't happy, and she says, who did this? And the cousins blamed this little boy, Yechiel Yoshua. And she screamed at him, you know, don't have these, you know, v'chule. And when the father came home, the uncle came home, he investigated into this, and he realized that it was his own children who were up to this, and this poor kid got blamed for something he didn't do, and he really didn't even want to do. And he called this little boy over, and he says, why didn't you stick up for yourself and say it was not at all your fault? And he looked up to his uncle with innocent eyes, and he says, this past Shabbos when I was in shul, I noticed that Menman was going over to everyone after davening, wished him a good Shabbos, but no one answered him. And I found out this person's a malshi, one who informs on others and gets into trouble. Therefore, I was afraid to speak to him and refuses to speak to him. I thought a lot about that and accepted by myself that no matter what, I am never going to say anything bad about anyone again. Even if the other person will get off scot-free and I will be admonished or suffer consequences in their stead, this is the way it was meant to be. But I will never inform on another person or speak badly about another Jew. Moreover, I'll do my best to find the good in every Jew. And that's what served him well as he became the Bialo Rebbe after the war. And many people were drawn to him because of his Avas Yisrael. This is what it's about. We can look at the negative and we can look at the positive. I'll end with another idea from Mirosh Sarim. If all of this didn't help you, then here's one final idea. If you want to get back at your friend and feel you're like, so I'll tell you what to do. Become a greater tzaddik. Eitza tova nitna lo b'sefer mivchar p'nimim b'meh yidnakem ha'adam esono. How can you get back, take revenge? Yosef ma'ilo yisei rabat, so I'll become a better person. That's the greatest revenge, that you can become greater than the other. And the greatest way we see, my friends, to become bigger and better is to learn how to forgive, how to review revenge, how to look at revenge from a different viewpoint, and then we will see. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us, He loves each and every one of us, and everything is orchestrated by Him, and our job is to channel the hatred into love, love of others, and love of Hashem.